Since its extinction in 1936, the thylacine, also known as the Tasmanian tiger, has been of interest to researchers and citizens alike. As cloning technology continues to advance, scientists move closer to bringing extinct animals back to life, starting with the thylacine. But can de-extinct animals be reintroduced into their former natural environment? Alice Savage asked School of Biosciences professor at the University of Melbourne, Andrew Pask, about the extinct thylacine.
So the thylacine was this absolutely incredibly unique marsupial species that we had that lived mostly in Tasmania. It's also known as the Tasmanian tiger. And it was incredibly unique because it looked exactly like a dog, so very different from other marsupial species that we're all familiar with. And that's really interesting because it hasn't shared a common ancestor with the dog for like 160 million years. So they're very, very distantly related, yet they look almost identical to one another. And it was also a really unique marsupial because it was an apex predator. So it's one of those animals that sit right at the top of the food chain. The thylacine was really the only apex predator that we had in marsupials that lived into modern times.
Why did the thylacine go extinct?
Sadly for us, this really incredible marsupial was completely hunted to extinction by humans in Tasmania, and the last animal died in captivity in 1936. And I think it's something that really resonates with us as a truly tragic tale of a human-driven extinction, some animal that we completely pushed off the face of the earth. The last nail in the coffin for the thylacine was that the Tasmanian government put a £1 bounty on bringing specimens.
Are we able to clone the Tasmanian tiger?
So I think, you know, this whole idea of de-extinction or bringing an animal back from the dead is something that used to be very much science fiction. You know, we can think of Jurassic Park, but now it is absolutely unequivocally science fact. It is something that we can do. We do have all of the technology in place to bring an extinct animal back to life. So the question is no longer if we're going to do it, it's when it's going to be done and what will be the first animals that are brought back. And there's a lot of really good reasons for us wanting to develop that technology for marsupials to help protect and preserve marsupial species that are threatened with extinction right now. So all of these technologies are really helpful for marsupial conservation efforts.
How do you de-extinct an animal?
They've coined this term de-extinction because it is distinctly different from cloning, in that to clone an animal, you need to have a living cell. The same process applies when you're trying to de-extinct something, is you have got to start with a living cell. We still can't create life from just molecules in the laboratory. You have to start off with something that already is alive. So you have to basically find what is the closest living relative to your extinct animal that you can get a living cell from. So for us with the thylacine or Tasmanian tiger, it's the numbat is the closest living relative. So what you would do in this case is you start off with a numbat cell, and then you look at its DNA that gives you all of the instructions of how you build a numbat. And so with that DNA code, you then sequence your entire DNA code from the thylacine. So that's something my lab did a couple of years ago now. And then you compare that to your numbat DNA and you figure out everywhere where there are differences between those two. And then you have to go into your numbat cell that's alive and you have to edit in all of those changes. Just a matter of time. And people are working very hard on the mammoth de-extinction project.
Once an animal is de-extinct, can you reintroduce that animal back into its natural habitat?
For something like the mammoth, there's a lot of controversy around that, obviously. It's been extinct for, you know, maybe 3,000 to 5,000 years. There really isn't the environment that you can just release a mammoth back into that can roam free and you know, live as it once did all those years ago. With the thylacine, it's really very different. And that's why it is such a good poster child for de-extinction events, is because that food chain is still in existence in Tasmania. The habitat is still there. It's not that changed over the last, you know, 100 years. That if you were able to recreate a thylacine and put it back into that landscape, its whole ecological niche or where it sat in that environment still completely exists, and it should be able to just, you know, live its life as it did 100 years ago. So things really haven't changed that much. And there's also a lot of really good evidence out there that having those predators at the top of the food chain really help balance out all the species that sit beneath it. And a great example of that is the devil facial tumour virus, spreading very quickly throughout the population and has really threatened Tasmanian devils with extinction. Now, if you have your thylacine in place in that food chain, they can pick off and eat those weaker, sick individuals, and they remove them from the population before they have this ability to spread that disease so widely. And we've seen this multiple times, you know, with other animals that go extinct in other places, that you remove those sorts of, you know, key parts of the food chain, and then you start to see these very strange things like this devil facial tumour virus that they get. But they're the kinds of things that you see when you don't have those apex predators out there that are constantly removing those sick animals from the population.
University of Melbourne School of Biosciences Professor Andrew Pask, ending that report by Alice Savage.